Not quite the stampede today, but somewhat. All right, we're going to open up to Psalm 121. And before I pray and get started, just a couple of things really quick. I want to say, so Friday night we had our worship night, our summer worship and music night, and it was a great, great time. So if you were here for that, you got to experience that. Was that just a wonderful and joyful time? Amen. Yeah, so we hopefully plan to maybe keep that going and maybe do it every so often as an opportunity for people to showcase their talents and their gifts. But it was a great, great evening, and I'm just so, so proud of those that came and helped lead us in worship. Also, want to mention to you, and some of you already know this or you've seen it, but I wanted to mention that the Truesdale family will have just a couple of weeks with us. So August 11th will be Sean's last day here and the family's last day, as he will be moving on to Eastern PA, right? Eastern Pennsylvania, to pastor a church there. I believe the church's name is Community Alliance Church. So be praying for him. He has accepted the call, and we know that he's been actively candidating, and the Lord is leading him away from us, which is bittersweet. We love their family, and we just want to make sure that we keep them in our hearts and minds and continue to pray for them over the next couple of weeks. I know what it's like to make a big transition, to sell a house, to move, to go to a new community, and get established into a new faith family. So we're praying for you, Sean, and we know that the Lord is going to bless you and bless your work there. So, all right, Psalm 121. Let's pray. Father, help us today to hear your word. I pray, O Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, that you would come and speak to us, minister to our hearts, heal us, restore us, do the work that only you can do, Holy Spirit. So we pray this simple prayer, come. Come, Holy Spirit, and meet with us today in your word for the glory of Christ and for the building up and nourishment of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have a couple more sermons left for summer in the Psalms, this one and next week, and then we'll jump to a new series. But we come to Psalm 121, and we've been highlighting different psalms, and what we're really trying to see is really, I think Aubrey said it earlier and said it so well, that we need to know the character of God and learn his attributes. So the psalms are great for that, because the psalms, what we get are raw prayers, honest prayers, songs of lament, songs of praise, songs of worship. We have the scope of human emotions in the book of Psalms, and we could borrow the language of the Psalms to our own life. But also, Psalms gives us not just a direct or explicit, here's a command and here's what you do, but really more so in Psalms, we get a change of perspective. We get to join in the emotion of the psalm, and we get to sort of orient our hearts toward worship and toward praise. So that's what we do here in Psalm 121, the Lord our help. So we're looking at how God helps us, and it sounds like a very ordinary word. God is our helper. He helps us, and Psalm 121 will give us this kind of theme that as we lift up our eyes, verse 1, our help comes from the Lord. So we might think, well, that seems very kind of broad, very vague, very ordinary, very general, and it is in some sense, but the help that God gives is a total help. It is in every facet, in every area of our life. You may have heard this. It's an old motto or an old adage. God helps those who help themselves. That actually has origins in ancient Greece, and there's variations of it. This one, it says, the gods, plural, help those who help themselves. So this is, of course, maybe something you've heard, maybe a popular thing, and something maybe has a sense of truth to it, but it is, of course, contrary to the biblical message of the gospel. God doesn't just help those who help themselves. God helps those who are completely helpless. God helps those who are in need of grace, who turn to him in faith, and 100% of surrender their lives to him and admit that I am helpless and in need of help. So this is very important as we come into Psalm 121, and very important as we learn to grow in our faith. Not just the initial time you come to Christ, that you have to admit that I am broken and I need help, But as I said with our message on repentance, we are people of repentance. We don't just pray and repent one time, but we deepen in this kind of faith and repentance. And we also deepen here in our acknowledgement of God, we are helpless without you. I think I quoted a song maybe a week or two ago, and it's ringing in my ears now. The old song, the old hymn that says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And this is true. This should be the posture of the heart, excuse me, of the believer. This should be the attitude of our spirit, that we can't do anything apart from the grace of God. We can't take out the trash apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. I can't be a good father or a good husband. I am helpless in every area of my life apart from the power and the work of God in me. So I want to say to you today and encourage you with Psalm 121. It is a simple psalm. It is a short psalm, but it has a powerful message. And that is, God is our help. Total and in every area of our life, God is our helper. It is linked to the first word of the gospel, help. After repent, if we can understand this and know this, the first word of the gospel, as I talked about with repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, is quickly followed up by, I repent, Lord. I believe on you, so help me. Help me in whatever condition I'm in, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and wherever I'm at in my life. Confessing that we need God's help is a huge step forward into entering a world of grace and joy and freedom. I often remember, my kids are older now, but I remember when they were little, and I have these memories that come back, but often trying to help my children. Things like learning to walk. You know, I remember little Caleb. I would grab him, his little fingers would wrap around my finger here, and I kind of miss those days. But I could hold him up and just kind of walk with him, you know? And he was just learning to walk, and he would fall down every step or two. And really, I was the one holding him up. You know, he thought he was really big. I mean, he thought that he could just do anything, even at that age. I admired that about him. But our kids are like that, right? We reach down and we help them, and we're the ones doing all the work, essentially. But they feel as if, man, I'm really making progress here. I'm really doing something. And this is your Father. He helps us. He reaches down. He allows us to sort of reach up and grab a hold of his hands and grab his fingers and walk with him. And oftentimes it can seem like, well, I'm really doing something here. I'm in myself. I'm really accomplishing something. But you are doing everything you're doing by the help of God. And he's sustaining you. He's walking with you. I also remember taking my girls to, you know, daddy-daughter dances, and there they would kind of stand on my feet, you know, and I'd dance with them like this and just walk around. And, you know, they thought they were great dancers, but here they are on daddy's feet. And I wonder if we as believers can be like children, can come to the Father and realize that, God, I need your help. And I'll stand on your feet. I'll grab a hold of your hands. Because I know that in every part of my life, I need to move forward with your sustaining power. And it's very easy for us. This is very important. It's very easy for us as believers, if we've walked with Christ for a week or 50 years, it's just human nature. It's very easy for us to pull away from that kind of dependency, to not cast ourselves at the mercy of God and try to live our life in our own strength. When we try to gain righteousness in our own morality, when we try to be good enough or turn over a new leaf or fight harder the next time to overcome some kind of a sin, it just doesn't work. And it leads us to a lot of guilt and frustration and shame. I'm here today to tell you, dear church, that it is the power and the grace of God that sustains you in every possible way, that you don't need to figure it out on your own. You don't need to live life by yourself trying to muster up joy and strength and put on some kind of a religious mask. But be honest, be raw, like the Psalms, and rely on the help of God. We have a pond in our backyard, and it's the same thing. We had a party 4th of July, and we had some family there. And if you've been to our house, you know our house is not that big. We had like 25 people at our house. And we just put them all outside and said, here's some fishing poles, fish in the pond. But we had some little ones there, and they were trying to, you know, trying to fish, and I had to hold the, you know, hold the rod for them. I had to help them. And again, this is our Father. He helps us in every way. Psalm 46 says this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Again, standing on the character of God, He is our help. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. This comes from Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge. That's the language that Psalms uses here. God is our hiding place. He is a high tower that we run to and find safety in the storm. He is an ever-present help. Every moment, every second, even when we're not in tune with it and we don't recognize it, God is always doing 10,000 things behind the scenes in our life and in our soul, and we may be aware of three of them at any given point, but He is always working, always moving us forward. So God is our help. What's the response of the heart of the believer then? What is the step of faith if we learn that God is our help in this way, this complete help that He gives us? Well, Scripture here in Psalm 121 tells us to lift up our eyes to the mountains or the hills. This is where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Colossians 3 puts it this way. Gets more detailed. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Not only is God our help in a very broad, general way in every part of our life, but God is our help specifically in the person and work of Jesus Christ, in the work of the gospel on your behalf. That dear believer, here's what the verse says to you. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. Do you know that you have been raised with Christ? Do you know that you are united to Christ? That His work on the cross and His resurrection and His ascension to the right hand of the Father, His sending us out into mission in our communities, in the world, every step of the way, Christ is next to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in you, conforming you to His own image and working in the world for His glory and our good. That we have been raised with Christ. I know we are some time from Easter, but let me tell you and remind you that Christ is risen, right? This is a not just an Easter thing, this is an every Sunday thing for the faith family. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. The powers of evil are losing their grip and losing their hold as we speak. Christ is returning with His kingdom and will establish that on the earth, but here and right now. We're not just people that look to the future or look to some eternity that's very vague and we can't understand what that looks like, but here and now. How is Christ risen in your life? How are you living that risen life and looking up to His help? The context of Psalm 121, this is a song of ascent. What that means is that there's a whole genre of the Psalms that are labeled as psalms or songs or poems of ascent, meaning that when the people of God would journey up to Jerusalem, the pilgrimages that would happen several times every year, when they would make their way up to the mountain of Jerusalem, we pick up this language in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where my help comes from, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As the people would pilgrimage there to the place of worship, to the temple, they would perhaps sing this or rejoice in this psalm of ascent. It celebrates the Israelites gathering for festival, journeying toward their homeland, place of worship, that would represent the presence of God for them. Perhaps also, Bible scholars have said this could be a psalm that commemorates the return of the exiles back to their homeland. So as they would come back from Babylon and be released from slavery, there they would sing and rejoice, "My help comes from the Lord." And I wonder if we have any former exiles in the house today. people who are still on the pilgrimage of life, journeying one step in front of the other, one breath, one day at a time, trusting in the help of God, constantly looking to Him for strength, for refuge. I'm talking about being dependent on the Lord, not trusting in your own self, but allowing that pride that grips a hold of every one of us to be released and to crumble so that we can be people of humility, people who are broken and know that we're broken. And we don't need to hide the brokenness, but know that there is help from God available to all who call upon Him. Verses 1 and 2, I just read it. It represents us calling on God. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God is our maker, very simply put. He is our creator. He has fashioned us. He has formed us. He has created us for Himself. He has stamped in our very souls His own image. So the first thing that the psalmist here in 121 rejoices in is that God has made me. Therefore, He has a claim on me. He is my Father. My life is His. He tells me where to go. He tells me what to do. He tells me how to live, how to pray, how to worship. My Maker, my Creator has a claim on my life. This is not just a God among a plethora of gods, but this is the real living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who is making all things new, the God who calls every star by name and knows every hair on your head, the God who fashioned order from chaos and creates things for His own pleasure and for our joy. This is the maker of heaven and earth. So, dear church, verse 1 says to lift up your eyes because this is the God you are pursuing, you are following. Verse 3, not only is He our maker, but He is our sustainer. And that's what really Psalm 121 is getting at here. He's our helper. In other words, He is our sustainer, as the psalmist would spell it out. Verse 3, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel, His people, will neither slumber nor sleep. Colossians 1:17 says, Christ is before all things, creator. All things are created through Him and for Him and by Him. And in Him, all things hold together. So He is the creator, yes. But by the very word of His power, we are sitting here and things are not unraveling, because He is holding it together by the word of His power. If He can hold the very cosmos together, can He not hold your life? Can He not guide your every day? Can He not help you on the Monday mornings when it's hard to just get out of bed and get moving? Can He not help the young, struggling mother? Can He not help the broken, those who feel like they've been cast aside? Can He not help you? Can He not help you every step of the way? Yes, amen, He can. He is sustainer. God is a keeper. This denotes His grace that He gives us to persevere and endure to the end. That He will keep those who are in His hand. That He will not cast us away, those who come to faith in Him. That He will never leave us or forsake us, but that He will be with us to the very end of the ages and on through eternity. That we are just beginning this grand story of redemption that will unfold. There's an illustration of this sustaining and keeping power, this confidence that we can have in God as our creator and sustainer. It comes from the famous preacher Charles Spurgeon's illustrations. Let me read this to you because it's so helpful. He said this, he shares this illustration. A number of years ago, a captain commanded a vessel sailing from Liverpool to New York. And on one voyage, he had all of his family with him on board the ship. One night, when all were quietly asleep, there arose a sudden gust of wind, which came sweeping over the waters until it struck the vessel, almost tipping it over. Instantly threw her on her side, tumbling and crashing everything that was movable and awakening the passengers to a consciousness that they were in imminent danger. Everyone on board was alarmed, uneasy. Some sprang from their beds and began to dress, that they might be ready for the worst. The captain had a little girl who was his daughter on board the ship this night, just 8 years old, who of course awoke with the rest of the people. "What's the matter?" said the frightened child. They told her a wind and waves had struck the ship. She replies, "Is father on deck?" "Yes, father's on deck." The little girl then dropped herself on her pillow again without a fear, and in a few moments was sleeping sweetly in spite of the winds or waves. "Fear not the windy tempest wild. Thy bark they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child. Thy father is on deck." This is the truth here. She just simply responds, "Wait a minute. I know it's chaos, but is father on deck?" "Yes, he's on deck." "Then we'll be all right." We can trust, even when things are chaotic and out of order. Even when the world seems like it's just got problems that we can't solve, I'm here to tell you that Father is still on deck. He is still comfortably seated on his throne. He will still rule the nations with a rod. He will still establish righteousness over every nation and every people, every tongue. Every knee will one day still bow to him. And every tongue will be loosened to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen to me, Jesus Christ is still on deck. He still holds this world. He holds you. He is your helper, your refuge, your comfort, your sustainer. He created you. He puts breath in your lungs. He gives you the capacity to breathe every second, every day. He enables you with health and strength to live your life. You may have physical limitations, you may experience illness and sorrow, but the deepest part of you will be held by the Father. He is your helper. This is how the poetic psalm puts it. He will not let your foot slip. Verse 3, he who watches over you will not slumber. He is not asleep. He's not on a vacation. Isn't that amazing when you go to God? He's not like got a sign on the door that says, "Out of office, I'll be back after lunch." He's just always there, right? He's always there. And you can go to him. He's more willing to receive you than you are willing to go to him. He's always there. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day. Again, highlighting this daily, constant care. This is what the Lord does for us. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you. Again, there's that word keep. He will keep you from all harms. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going every step, every day, both now and forevermore. The Lord's constant help and care for you. What is it, dear believer? What is it, dear church? Dear soul who is weary, what are you facing? What are you walking through right now? What sickness are you battling? What depression are you fighting? What sin are you trying to cast away? What is it? Because I'm here to tell you to look up. Look to the hills. Your help comes from the Lord. Turn to him. Trust in him. Know that he will be there. Now I'll close with this. You know that you can't go a couple weeks without me bringing up a C.S. Lewis reference. So here's one. I'll give you one. This is from his stories. If you haven't learned by now, I'm a huge fan of C.S. Lewis and his children's stories, The Chronicles of Narnia. I've read them to my kids several times. We've enjoyed the stories. There's a story called The Horse and His Boy. And in this story, the boy is named Shasta, and he's an orphan that is fleeing an abusive home, and he's fleeing to safety. He wants to go to Narnia because there he's heard rumors of a great lion who could comfort and help him. If I could get to Narnia and be there with Aslan and his people, I might find some kind of peace. I might be free of abuse and find safety. And there's this scene near the end of the story where he's had this long journey, and he's almost been eaten by bears and lions and chased and been left at sea and been abused, and all these horrific things have happened to him on this long journey from a foreign country to Narnia. And he gets to this spot where Aslan shows up. Aslan in the story is the Christ figure. He's the one that sort of represents the voice of God. And this voice calls out to Shasta and has this really moving scene. Let me read it to you. This voice is speaking to him, and He says, "Don't you think it was bad luck to meet so many lions and dangers?" said Shasta. "There was only one lion," said the voice. "What on earth do you mean? I've just told you here that there were at least two the first night, and there was only one, but he was swift of foot. How do you know?" And the lion answers back, "I was the lion." And as Shasta gaped with mouth open and said nothing, the voice continued speaking, "I was the lion who forced you to join with Aravis. I was the cat," and these are all things that happened in his journey, "I was the cat who comforted you among the house of the dead. I was the lion who drove the jackals from you while you slept. I was the lion who gave the horses the new strength of fear for the last mile so that you should reach king in time. I was the lion, you do not remember, who pushed the boat in which you lay, a child near death, so that it came to shore where a man sat wakeful at midnight to receive you." And the story will go on, and he'll give examples basically saying, "I was there the whole time. When you were in danger and you had all these problems, you had someone chasing you, you were left at sea, that was me. I was pushing you along your journey so that you could reach me." So in essence, at times, I want to say this, God sometimes has to break us. He has to crush idols in our life, remove crutches, remove areas of self-dependence in our life, remove people that we rely on too much at times. He has to remove comforts sometimes so that we could run to him and truly find safety and shelter that will last for all eternity. So he's been there the whole time. When it's dark, when it's discouraging, the Lord is with you. He is our help. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together, to hear your word, a simple psalm, but a psalm with a message that we need to be reminded of. You are our help. So Holy Spirit, I will ask that you would take these words and that you would minister to the hearts of your people, that you would remind them of the help that we have in Christ, and that you would encourage their hearts, stir them up, that you would breathe new life into us today, renewal, revival, strength, joy, and that you would help those who are struggling, those who are fighting battles, those who feel like, "I'm at the end of my rope, where do I go?" God, you are our help, so we trust in you, we turn to you today, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. They're going to sing, and as they sing, I want to give you an opportunity to come and respond to God's word. I've been doing this weekly, so just a brief time as they sing the last song, our closing song, I want to give you an opportunity. There'll be some prayer partners down front or near the front ready to receive you if you want to pray. Again, if you, I want to reiterate this, if you don't know Christ today, I want to give you an opportunity to come to know him. So if you're here today and the Holy Spirit is saying, go learn, go pray, go see who this God, our help is, I want to invite you to come. I'd be more than happy to pray with you, to talk with you. If you just need special prayer, come to the front. Someone will meet you and pray with you if you're in need today. Let's worship.